this episode, Jimmy and I discuss the challenges parents face regarding teenagers and their engagement with social media. We explore the different platforms teens use, the pressures they feel to participate, and the impact of social media on mental health. Our conversation emphasizes the importance of open communication between parents and teens, addressing the dangers of online interactions, and fostering wisdom in navigating social media. We also discuss resources for parents to help guide their children in this digital age. Welcome to Post Eden Parenting. I'm Aaron Parks.
And I'm Jimmy Cook.
And today's episode, Jimmy and I just wanted to have a conversation about teenagers and social media and media. We've each got teenagers, and we just wanted to spend some time just kind of talking about the issues we face, because we think there are more than likely issues that you as parents are facing as well. And so we just wanted to talk about it and see what we came up with.
Yeah. So Aaron, you've got some teenagers in your house.
Yes. I've got a 17-year-old and a 16-year-old, both boys. And you've got?
I've got a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old, almost 13-year-old. Nice. Both boys also.
Nice. So, oh, yeah. And then I guess I've got an 11-year-old and also a 7-year-old. And mm-hmm. So they're knocking on the door of social media and all of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a 10-year-old as well. So I've got a couple of preteens, almost a teen, and a 15-year-old, almost a 16-year-old. So I've got some teenagers in the house and some upcoming teenagers.
Yes. So what social media do your boys use?
Honestly, they're not super engaged with social media yet. So my 15-year-old, he's mostly texting with friends. They engage with YouTube, which has a social media aspect. Even though they're primarily watching videos, there are like comments and ways to interact with other people on YouTube. They also engage on some of the gaming platforms. So things like Fortnite, where you're playing online against other people that are peers, or Minecraft. They're part of a Minecraft server with some friends, but it's fairly limited in our house. My oldest is not that interested in it. The middle one is interested, very much so. He's way more social, and so he kind of is yearning for that interaction all the time.
Yeah, that's very similar in our house. Our oldest isn't really interested in like social media at all. He even kind of mocks it at times, but then our second is really interested. And so we've just been trying the best we can to figure out, what does this even look like? We didn't really have to face it with our oldest, but now we're starting to have these conversations. And our second, I mean, he's asking all the time, hey, can I get an Instagram? And we are just kind of processing that. What does that look like? One of the things for us that we've talked with them about is, so help me understand, why do you want this? And just kind of talking with them about, what do you think hope to gain with this, and kind of having that conversation with them and just seeing kind of what he says. We're not there yet. He still doesn't have Instagram, because he'll kind of ask about it. And then I don't know if he just knows he's not going to get it, or if he doesn't really care that much. But we're starting to have those conversations more and more with him of, okay, what does that look like? Let's process that. Cause he's even mentioned, oh, but so many things, even, you know, FSM here at church, say, follow us on Instagram, and that's how you find out information. And so that's one of the places I think that he goes to for information, is trying, whether that's, you know, or a lot of people are putting that information out there on Instagram. And so he's like, I can't get this information if I don't have Instagram. And so I think they're facing that challenge as well, that a lot of places are putting out the information on social media. And so you can't find information if you're not engaged in those.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, we do that at the church. The school uses Instagram for information and communication channel. It's just, it's almost, there's a pressure just to participate in regular life, to be engaged on social media, because so much information is available there. And it's such a viable communication channel that can reach so many people. And so I see the value in it in that way, as a form of communication and connection. There's certainly a value in social media. I think for teenagers, there's a lot of pressure because of friends being on social media as well, and feeling like they're missing out on something, missing out on the ability to create something or to engage with friends. And so I know a lot of the kids that I know that are really engaged in social media, they're using TikTok. Everybody's watching YouTube. So lots and lots of kids, there's lots of memes and meme videos and things that they pass around, even via text or whatever. And then TikTok, Instagram, Facebook is for old people, right? Like, yes. I don't know any people under 35 that use Facebook at all.
Yeah, at least on a regular basis. Yeah. They might have a Facebook, but then they don't ever put anything there.
Right. So I feel like even within like Instagram and YouTube, TikTok is the dominant form, right? So Instagram has reels now and they're short videos. And that's a lot of the kids that I know that are engaging with Instagram. That's what they're doing, right? And that's really kind of just the format from TikTok. And on YouTube, they have YouTube shorts now.
Yep.
So it's not long form videos that are as popular. It's the short, maybe 30 seconds to a minute videos that kids are watching and commenting on and interacting with.
Yeah. And then downloading them, texting them to their friends or just interacting with it. Yeah. It's interesting. There was a research report by Pew Research that I read recently that said that, this is the quote on it. It says fully 95% of teens have access to a smartphone and 46% say they're online almost constantly. And so much of what they're doing is social media. It's interacting with others, or maybe it's watching YouTube. And then this same thing said that 36% of them believe that they spend too much time on it, which is really interesting that even students are starting to say like, I probably spend too much time on that. Because even when we've put, you know, for Lent, we'll fast from screens sometimes. And this year we decided, hey, let's just completely fast from screens. You can use your phone for calling and different, just kind of make it like a tool. And our second was actually all for it. He was like, great, I'm in, let's do it. He goes, I probably spend too much time on it anyway. And so it's like, there's this recognition of, oh man, I love it. I want to be engaged with it, but I probably spend too much time on it, but I really love it and want to engage with it. And so I don't know that they necessarily feel trapped, but I think at times they might. Just feeling that pressure all the way around.
Yeah. And adolescent, it's such a critical time too in identity development, in brain development. So much is happening between the ages of 13 and 18 and even continuing into like your mid 20s, honestly, with your brain. So like so many neural pathways are being created. So many connections are being created in parts of the brain that previously weren't really wired together in the way that they will be as an adult. It's kind of like your brain is going from being a sprinter and learning how to be a marathon runner. So there's a lot of fast activity in adolescence. And so then there's also you haven't fully developed your prefrontal cortex where you make rational decisions, right? So it's easy for social media companies to kind of use that to their advantage. So with infinite scroll, with the ability to just keep going, and with adolescents' ability, a lack of ability to kind of regulate, it's really easy for them to fall into spending just a ton of time just scrolling through this infinite scroll from video to video.
And there's just an element of what if the next video is really funny? So it's like they kind of utilize the fear of missing out. And so like, oh, what if the next one is really funny? So like, I got to see the next one. And so it just keeps going and keeps going because there's millions and millions, if not billions of hours of content on YouTube and on TikTok, all of that, that they can engage with.
Well, and I think there's also the fear of missing out in the sense of what are people talking about at school? Have you seen this video or have you seen this TikToker? Have you watched the Skibidi Toilet series or whatever it is where there's a desire to be engaged, and that's the way that a lot of kids relate to each other, even when they're in person.
Yeah, it's like a giant inside joke that thousands, if not millions, that you don't want to be left out of that. That right. If it's like, oh, have you seen this? Which as parents, we feel that all the time because so much of it, I don't know about you, but and those of y'all listening, but there's times where I'm like, I don't understand a word that they're saying, but teenagers, they're talking to each other and it's almost like they have their own language. And it's a lot of times they're talking in memes. They're talking in some video that they've seen, which I mean, I did that when I was a kid too. It was just some movie we watched and thought was funny, but it's like this giant inside joke that they don't want to be left out of. So there's just this element of social media to pretty much everything. Even if it's just a video, there's a social aspect that as they go to school, as they interact with others, that they want to have seen the most popular videos. But like you said earlier, like your kids are on a server with Minecraft, with Fortnite, every video game, or not every, but most of them now have some sort of social element to it. So as parents, we've got to think through that just giving them a video game isn't just a video game. It's connecting them as they connect socially in all of these video games with others, and they're playing with other people. So we've got to be cognizant of that too, that they're engaging with other people. And so as they're younger, I would encourage families to think through some limits on that. Like with my 7-year-old, we let him play Fortnite. And so he plays with, sometimes I'll play with him. It's actually really fun. We'll play on teams, or he'll play with his older brothers, but I don't let him have any sort of social interaction on the game. It's just playing the game for the game. And so you got to really think through that.
Yeah. You're opening up a lot of channels. So there are certainly dangers. There's kind of multifaceted dangers once you're interacting with people online. So, you know, even within a game setting, there's dangers if you're interacting online and you're kind of engaging in that social media aspect or the connective aspect of, let's say, Fortnite. There are people who are going to be engaged in the game that don't share the values that you share as a family. So there are going to be people who are using language that you probably think is inappropriate, or talking about subjects that you maybe don't want to talk about with your kids. There are going to be people who are, and they may be the same age as your kids. They may be kids as well. It could be adults. But there are going to be people who are engaging in that in a way that you would not want your kids to engage. There's also like people who are bad actors. So there are people who are in these spaces, whether it's on social media or in games, and they're bad actors. They are looking for people who they can victimize, essentially. And that could happen in a lot of ways, but you know, it could be financial. It could be somebody who's a predator looking for someone that they could sexually abuse. But imagine that you are opening up your home to millions and millions of people. So you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't be like, hey, everybody, I'm going to leave my doors unlocked.
Come on over.
And anybody who wants to take anything from me or to, you know, come in my house and mess things up, it's all open.
Or say something to my kids. Like, yeah. Hey, say whatever you want to them.
Yeah. We wouldn't do that in person, but sometimes we don't think about it in terms of what we're opening up to our kids when we say, okay, you can engage with all of these people. Millions and maybe even billions of people online, and we don't know who they are. We don't know what they want or what's motivating them to interact with our kids.
Yeah, it's a lot different. I'll never forget getting the NES for Christmas when I was 5 and opening it up and having Super Mario Brothers. I played it all day long, but there was zero. The only social aspect was when I went to school on Monday and I was like, guys, guess what I got? And another one of my friends had got the same thing. And so we were like, this is the greatest game ever. This is so fun. And we were talking about it and it was really fun. But that's the social aspect of it now. But now it's just so different that every game has that. And so we've just got to really think through that. And so it can be really overwhelming as a parent to think through that, to go, man, I just wanted to get them a fun video game that they love, that they can play. I didn't want to have to think through all of this. And so I think there's just an element of being a parent in today's culture, in today's society, the way it works is we just have to think through that, because the truth is that people and companies, they will disciple our kids if we don't. We have to be actively involved with that. And it's not something to be afraid of, but it is something to be actively involved with. And we're not having this conversation so that parents, that you will be terrified of your kids getting to do anything. But there are some realities that we have to acknowledge and then engage with. Have those conversations with your kids. That's one of the things on this podcast that we encourage, is have conversations with your kids, whether it's where we've talked about sexuality or race or those things. Have conversations with your kids. And this is true with this too, with social media and media in general. Talk with them. And when they come to you and say, hey, I want Instagram, or hey, look at this video on TikTok. My wife is the best about this. She engages with it. She always tells me, she's like, hey, just laugh at one of the videos that they show you. And I'm like, but I don't think they're funny at all. But she does a good, and they go to her. I notice, I'm like, oh, I probably need to start doing that. But it's so hard for me because I don't think it's funny at all. But she'll engage with it and go, hey, tell me, what about that is funny? Why do you think that's funny? And she really does a good job of engaging with them. And so I think as parents, that's one of the things we can do.
Yeah. And if you're feeling like, well, I didn't really have those conversations when they were younger. Now they're really engaged with social media. They're engaged with the gaming community. They're engaged with, you know, all of this interaction with people online. And I don't know what to do from here. It's never too late to have the conversation, to be curious about what's it giving to them that they're really enjoying. What is it that they're getting out of these interactions? What is it that they value in watching these videos or learning these TikTok dances? Or there's a way to engage that's non-threatening and non-judgmental as a parent. Like you can say, hey, I'm interested in the things that you're interested in. And then opening up the channel for conversation and for discipleship in these areas. The why is really important as well. So when you're talking with your kids, talking about why it's helpful to engage in certain ways or why it might be harmful to engage in certain ways. Some of the things that we've seen as more and more research is done on kids interacting with social media, there's a high correlation between a lot of time on social media and feelings of anxiety and depression. So the more time kids are spending, there's a negative correlation with self-esteem and a positive correlation with anxiety and depression.
Yeah. As more and more research comes out, you know, I think Instagram started in 2010. The first iPhone came out in 2007. And so we're getting farther and farther away from that, but it's still relatively new. Everything is pretty new in the history of humankind. And so we're learning more and more. I know as I read more and more of those articles and research that talks about the increase, well, I mean, the Surgeon General warning, I can't remember when he released that warning, but he had a report that said that the mental health crisis among teenagers is being, he used the words, it's being driven by social media. And so we're starting to see, even in the medical community, as they study this, they see there's actually some negative effects of prolonged social media use. And it's actually driving this with those, even the congressional hearings where they admitted, yeah, we know it's not doing great stuff for teenagers, but they don't necessarily want to change it. And so I think it's just being wise as a parent. Now, we're not saying go hide under a rock, go live in the woods, don't engage at all. But our hope is that all of us would be wise, that we can't just go, oh, I bet it's fine. It's tough really to say, okay, don't engage with any of it, but just have those conversations. Be wise as you talk about it. And as you, you know, bring up scripture, as you're studying scripture, like Psalm 119:37, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Bring up scripture with them. Talk about this together. You know, Psalm 101, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. There's a lot of scripture that talks about what we put in our hearts, what we put before our eyes. And so I think that's a good discipleship thing that we can talk with our kids and have that conversation. And then I think we have to be really careful as we're having that conversation to not have our words be filled with shaming. Like, why do you even think that's funny? What about this is funny? I think there's a way to say like, oh, okay, you think that's funny? I don't personally think that's funny, but I could kind of see how that's funny to you, and just relating with them and talking about it, but just being careful not to have shaming language, even as we're saying, hey, do you think this is best for you to watch this? There might be things that are like, eh, it's okay, but is this what's best for you? And then as they get older and older, they're going to have to start making those decisions for themselves and beginning to release them and let them fail while they're in our homes, and then just walk alongside them is really important.
Yeah, I think a big part of our guidance as parents is helping them be wise in the way that they interact with social media, and to begin to help them make those decisions for themselves, to help them cultivate wisdom in how they're interacting. There's a lot of Proverbs that talk about the communication between parents and children, like Proverbs 2, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. So there's kind of a communication of wisdom from parents to children and helping them begin to discern wise ways to live. So there are clearly dangers in social media. We've seen, you know, there's consequences for mental health. There's consequences for self-esteem. There are ways that there are bad actors out there. And so there's a lot of dangers there, but there's also, we can help them navigate that by helping them develop wisdom.
One of the resources that I've found that is really helpful is AXIS.org. They've got so many different resources on there. There's a parent's guide to social media. There's a parent's guide to TikTok. There's all of these different parent's guides that you can read. I mean, they even have A Parent's Guide to Conspiracy Theories. And so I might have to read that one. That one sounds pretty interesting. They have all these guides, and the goal is to inform us as parents, to help us have conversations. And so the one on social media, it has all throughout it, there's some reflections. How do you use social media? Do you think it's a positive or a negative force in your life? How do the teens in your life use social media? How do they use it positively, negatively? And then there's just a lot of really good questions that you can talk with your kids about. You know, one of them here is, what other positive aspects of social media can you think of? And so as you have these conversations with them, this is a great resource. And then they have a thing called the Culture Translator, where they'll email you once a week. And it's got kind of just a set system of things that it emails you. It'll email you like the three different top stories of the week. It always shocks my kids when I come in and go, hey, what'd you think about this thing, whatever it is? It might be, you know, Beyonce's new country song. What do y'all think about this? And have a good conversation with them about that, the things that are going on. So it's just helpful to enter into their world and engage and show them, I'm not afraid to enter into your world, and I want to be there with you to help you navigate it. I think that's really, really important.
Yeah. And even if they give you pushback, they really love it. It's kind of like hugging your teenager. They sometimes act like they don't want to be hugged, but they definitely want to be hugged. They want to experience affection, even if they don't act like it. And the same is true with these kinds of conversations and these areas of helping them develop wisdom. They desire it, even though sometimes they're going to act like they're like, oh, Dad, I can't believe you said that. The other day, I was using some of their slang, like Riz and Skibbity. And all of that stuff, which I think I have a working definition of, but I'm not completely sure. But it just, they're like, I can't. They roll their eyes, but they love it too. Yep. They love the interaction, even though they act like it is driving them crazy. Another crucial piece that we've talked about quite a bit is that we're modeling behavior for them. So a lot of the things that they're engaging in, it's something that they've seen us do. So if you're wanting to talk about your kids' engagement with social media, you need to consider, how are you engaging in social media? What are you doing in that space? Is it beneficial to you? What's harmful to you? Think through it as an adult. Is it difficult for you to stop scrolling through Instagram? Is it difficult for you to disengage from YouTube videos? And then how are you handling and managing that? Because what we're modeling a lot of times is even more important than what we're saying. The kids are going to pick up intuitively on what we're engaging in those spaces as well.
Man, Jimmy, thanks for having this conversation. This is really good. I know it's probably one of those topics that we could talk about for a really long time because it's so vast. But man, I appreciate you sitting down and just us having this conversation. So hopefully there's some stuff that's been helpful for you, even in having this conversation. We would love to talk with any of y'all. So feel free to email us. I'd love to grab lunch or coffee and just talk with y'all. Hang in there and continue to engage with your kids in regards to social media. Thanks so much for listening. We hope our experiences help you think through how to walk alongside your teenagers as they navigate social media. And as always, if you have any questions, email us at fayettekids@fellowshipnwa.org.